afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Shook Me Right Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tufts Free Farm Radio on this Saturday, January 25th, 2020. Yes, I've been on the air quite a bit this week. I know, I get it. You're becoming the popular guy. Understandable. But you know what? When you're passionate about what you want in life, you gotta make choices. And you gotta make sacrifices. And there are no shortcuts to success, period. No matter how much you may claim you may want something, no. You gotta get up and go get it. No excuses. So, I'm happy to be here. My regular slot, 5 to 6, here with you. It's 6 o'clock today on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. Thanks to all those who are tuning in live on the TuneIn radio app and as well as WMFO.org, wherever you may be. Call in the show always, 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. We're going to start the show today on a little bit of a different topic and a little bit of a style. And I was actually inspired by some folks down in Philadelphia last night. And I was, you know, I'm a person who listens to other radio stations as well. You know, and when you're a guy who, you know, who does radio, who's in radio and so forth, at times I like to listen to, you know, other guys and talk about and listen to what their takes are, as well as, you know, like hear how other people think, what they may be talking about, topics, et cetera, et cetera. And my topic to lead off to today's show is, it was actually inspired by a radio personality in Philadelphia last night. And it got me thinking as I was getting ready to come on the air that, maybe I should actually lead off the show with this. And perhaps I think this will make for great debate. So the topic I want to lead off with today is, we've done a lot of Tom Brady and the Patriots talk. We've done a lot of Alex Cora in Major League Baseball and the whole Astros cheating scandal and all that fun stuff. So I want to break away from all of that and actually touch on something that I think it will warrant great spirited debate amongst the fans. And that is, what are some of the best and worst moments in Boston sports history? You can pick. There's no right or wrong answer. There's no right or wrong answer whatsoever. None. Zero. In fact, I am planning to have so much fun with this is that I'm going to keep repeating this over and over. Call in the show. What are some of your favorites, the best moment, and the worst of in Boston sports history? It could be a game, a championship series, a playoff round, or a scandal, or, you know, and so forth. And it's only as fun as the callers make it. So I'm hoping, sincerely hoping, that you call in the show. And heck, I might even tweet it out at some point. So I'm going to start off by saying the following. Now, Boston sports has seen its shares of indelible moments. Moments of heartbreak and dare I say, moments of just sheer agony. If you're a Boston sports fan, you know this all well, that there are moments in which that you'll still look back and say, oh my God. That was a real heart crusher. That was. And you look at it and you say, oh, what the hell is he thinking? Or you may look back on it and say, wow, did we really live through that? Or you may look back on it and you just say, wow, that brings back memories. Oh my God. Yeah. So, with that being said, I think that it's really fascinating that we have this type of discussion today because, frankly, in light of everything that's going on this week, there really hasn't been a whole lot of major stories or headlines to cover and discuss in Boston this week after the last couple of weeks. Like last week, if you may remember, I was all over the MLB cheating scandal and the punishment handed down to the Houston Astros, all over that. And then the week before, I was also on Tom Brady and the New England Patriots talking about what's going to happen next, the free agency, all that fun stuff. Now, the free agency talk doesn't end here. It's not going to end until we really find out what's going to happen over the next just under 2 months now. But at the same time, you just have to be thinking, you know, at some point, something big is going to break. And the big news is going to be either that he returns to the Patriots or he's leaving and he's going to play elsewhere. Either or, this show, we will, God willing, God permitting, we will in fact be all over that story. But I think it's also time that we kind of give it a little bit of a breather and discuss something a bit more fun, you know, a bit more like interacting and so forth. And I got to ask you, the fan, what is your most memorable moment in Boston sports history? And what is your most heartbreaking moment in Boston sports history? I'd love for you to chime in. Call in 855-915-9636, 855-915-9636. So I'm interested in which way you are going to take this. You can take this either or. Now, as for my thought and my take, I'm going to challenge myself outright from the get-go. So I'm going to say that the most heartbreaking moment in Boston sports, and I'm only going based on, we can go all time, but we can also talk about, hell, the last 20, 30 years. No, again, there is absolutely no right or wrong answers. None. It's subjected to your opinion. And there's a reason why I specifically picked this topic to start the show. And hell, I may actually carry this topic throughout the entire show tonight for the next 51 minutes. And so, now, for me, if I had to pick one, I have to go back to Game 7 of the 2003 American League Championship Series. And I know Red Sox fans are thinking, oh, God. Again, we're talking about that particular moment in time. We all know what happened the year after and so forth. We all know what happened the year after. But what we're talking about is a particular moment in time. That moment in time, I want to know, do you agree? Do you disagree? And it's completely okay. I'm pinpointing that because for a few reasons. Number one, Hall of Famer Pedro Martinez was on the mound at Old Yankee Stadium. And you went into the eighth inning up 5-2. And then the wheels fell off. Number two, you had chance after chance to add on to that lead leading into the eighth inning. And you did. In large part, you did. However, you just stopped. And now you got to give credit to the Yankee bullpen at that time, especially the job in which that Mike Mussina did coming into the game for the first time in his big league career. But then, of course, you have David Ortiz and so forth to talk about it. It looks like we have a caller. You're next up on 91.5 FM, right. WMFO. What's going on, Vin?
Hey, Shukri, I got to add to the program. How's it going?
Good, good. How's it going, man?
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
Hey, my two memories, the sad one, Kyle Yastrzemski popping up. I believe it was like the wild card game at Fenway Park against the Yankees. Remember that one?
Oh, you're talking about 1978, the playoff game. Yes, yes.
Yeah, if I remember, Bucky Dent hit a home run.
Correct,
but then
yes.
Kyle Yastrzemski popped it up, and it would have been wonderful if he hit it out of the ballpark that one moment.
Wow.
Hey, the other side of the apex was when the Patriots came back and beat the Falcons in the Super Bowl.
Oh wow, absolutely.
Me and my daughter, we were screaming. It was wonderful. I gotta go.
Absolutely.
Love your show. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Ben. Much appreciated.
Adios, mi amigo.
Adios. That was Vin in Medford calling into the show. He mentioned about that 1978 American League East playoff game. Because remember, the Sox had a 14 game lead on the Yankees that year, and as many people who are old enough to remember, the Yankees came back to tie it up and had the one game playoff at Fenway Park. And then it was Bucky Bleepin' Dent, as Red Sox fans have come to the later name it for years. I mean, for years. So that was definitely one heartbreaking moment that, wow, you talk about, for Red Sox fans, especially for generation of Red Sox fans, a moment of pain that was inflicted by the arch-rival Yankees. And I just find that now when you talk about that moment, one thing that I found to be really interesting was that a guy who was a coach, I believe he was the manager for the Red Sox in 1978, he would end up becoming an integral part of the Yankee dynasty later in his career. And I believe that was Don Zimmer. Don Zimmer was the guy who was the manager for the 78 Red Sox. Keep in mind later that he became Joe Torre's trusted right-hand man when Joe Torre took over as a manager of the Yankees in 96, prior to the start of 96. So just keep in mind that interesting correlation there. So, and then there was another part in which that Vin mentioned, and this is a great one. Super Bowl 51, the comeback, the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history, 28-3. Now, I agree with that on so many levels. Again, there are no right and no wrong answers. You can call into the show. Feel free to offer your opinion. Best moment in Boston sports history. Your worst moment in Boston sports history, or and so forth. There's no right or wrong answers. You can call in 855-915-9636, 855-915-9636. So in terms of Super Bowl 51, I want to talk about this before I go on break. The one thing that I'll always remember, I will always remember this for as long as I live. I was at Whiskey's Bar and Restaurant in Back Bay. And those who live in Boston, in Greater Boston, know exactly what I'm talking about. That spot that's over in Back Bay, right across from the Prue on Boylston, that spot. I was there that night for Super Bowl 51. And I remember when the Patriots were behind, and especially when Tom Brady threw that pick six, in which that added to what was a 21-3, it ended up being a 21-3 lead at the half. But then remember, Atlanta scored one more touchdown to make it 28-3. Now, I remember vividly from that night, especially, and it's befitting that we talk about this particularly, because it's a week from now that Super Bowl 54, to wrap up the 100th season of the NFL, that take place next Sunday down in Miami. The thing that I remember most was when it was 28-3, and I'll never forget, I'm looking around, just taking in the scene and so forth, how packed it was that night, and just everybody watching the game. And I remember the feeling was just like, wow, we're getting our tails handed to us. And the one thing that really stands out to me is thinking, okay, what can the Patriots do at this point to salvage this? I wasn't, to be frank, to be honest with you, even as a Patriots fan, I wasn't thinking comeback, not just yet. Again, bringing myself honestly back to that particular moment, I wasn't thinking comeback. I was just thinking, okay, what can we do to really salvage that moment? And they end up scoring again and make it 28-9, and then obviously the missed point after. Don't get me started. So, and then remember the strip sack by Dante Hightower that forced a fumble that really changed the entire complexity of the game. Yeah, when that happened, I remember I was standing next to a guy next to me, in which the guy and I, we literally looked at each other and said, wait a minute. At this point, it's 28-12, if memory serves me correctly. I'm thinking, do we have a chance? So you're telling me there's a chance? Oh, okay. So there is a chance. Fair enough. And at that point, The snowball continued to get bigger as the steam rolled down the hill. And the moment that the Patriots had tied it, I remember one of my dearest friends who I consider to be a brother from high school, he was down in New Jersey. He's watching the game. And he calls me on my cell phone. And he's like, dude, are you watching this? I'm like, dude, I'm here in Boston watching this right now. Like, I mean, at this point, it really was a feeling like, oh my God, is this really happening? Is this comeback really unfolding the way that it was? And then the catch by Julian Edelman. And you know what's funny? I'm getting chills actually talking about this. Just talking about it, I'm getting chills right now. Just remembering the catch by Julian Edelman, and when they ruled that it was a catch, and it was a catch, that was the one that we knew. It was like, okay, we really do have a chance now. And then when they tied it up, just going absolutely bananas, and then the end of regulation, it was just like, okay, if the Patriots win the coin flip. Game over. And sure enough, they did. And then my bro from New Jersey, he's on the phone with me as I'm watching that final drive. Now, he saw it moments before I saw it, because obviously there's a TV delay and so forth. But like, if he could call in and share what that moment was like, I absolutely lost it. I mean, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like, I lost it. And I remember just thinking, oh my God, what a comeback. But on the other hand, what a collapse by the Atlanta Falcons. But we're not talking about the Atlanta Falcons right now. But the fact of the matter is, well, what a comeback. So that moment, I couldn't agree with Vin of Medford calling into the show. I was just amazed by the magnitude of the moment and the comeback. And to be frank with you, it really didn't sink in until like maybe a couple of months later, where you just look back during that spring of 2017, where I remember like just walking around Boston, like during a spring day, actually, I was just like, wow, they really did pull off that comeback. They did it. Wow. It wasn't just the fact that they had won the Super Bowl, but it was the way that they won the Super Bowl in that comeback. So there's that magical moment for you. So call into the show, 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I'm very excited for this show, because I got to tell you, if you are a Boston sports fan, I'm telling you, this is the type of show that I think it should get everybody excited. Call in, offer your thoughts. We already had a caller already into the show. Man, this is good. This is really, really, really going to be good. And I'll tell you what, this is just the start. So it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Coming up next, we're going to continue the discussion. Best moment in Boston sports history. Worst moment Boston sports history. There's no right or wrong answers. Call in the show, 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. You're listening to The Shukri Wright Show. And this is Shukri Wright. You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. Touch Freeform Radio.
That tonight's gonna be a good night. 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 tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. A feeling. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. A feeling. Tonight's the night. Let's live it up.
Let's live it up.
I got my money.
Hey,
let's spin it up.
Let's spin it up.
Go out and smash it.
Smash it.
Like on my god.
Like on my god.
Jump out that sofa.
Come on.
Let's get off. Fill up my cup.
Drink.
Mazel tov.
L'chaim.
Look at her dancing.
Move it, move it.
Just take it off. Let's paint the town.
Paint the town.
We'll shut it down.
Shut it down.
Let's burn the roof.
And then we'll do it again.
Let's do it. Let's do it, let's do it, let's do it, and do it, and do it. Let's live it up and do it, and do it, and do it, do it, do it. Let's do it, let's do it, let's do it, do it, do it, do it. Here we come, here we go, we gotta rock, 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 rock. Easy come, easy go, now we on top, 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 top. Feel the shot, body rock, rock it, don't stop, 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 stop. Round and round, up and down, around the clock. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Saturday to Sunday. Keep, 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 keep with us. You know what we say, say. Party every day, pop, 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 party every day. And I'm feeling, that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. Tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night.
Welcome back to the Shook Free Right Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tusk Free Farm Radio. And we are here until 6 o'clock today. Doing the program. You can call in as always, 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. We're going to take a quick moment to do the station identification and the PSA, brought to you by 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. So stay tuned for the PSA coming up just shortly. But first, we're going to do a station identification. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford.
Wallace, Dropkick Murphys, and you're listening to WMFO Medford.
You are listening to WMFO in Medford.
Woo-hoo! Seducing teen girls online is easy. A lot of them feel so lonely and misunderstood. I don't even need to lie about my age. They're just glad they're talking to someone.
Someone older I can trust. They're more mature than the guys at my school and understand me better than other
teen girls are very trusting. You just have to tell them they're beautiful and special, and you can wear down whatever suspicions they have.
Have an understanding of real love. It's not all about looks. They know that doesn't matter when you're totally in love.
Love is the final piece of the puzzle. They believe anything I tell them because I
don't see why you shouldn't meet someone you totally trust. I mean, if someone really cares about you, there's no danger in meeting them.
No matter how long it takes, is always the goal. Once I get them to meet me, well, that's when things get really interesting.
Online predators know what they're doing. Do you?
1 in 5 kids online is sexually solicited. Don't believe the type. Visit cybertipline.com to learn more. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
The PSA and the station identification is brought to you by 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. The Bruins will be having the casino night at the Encore Boston. Join the Boston Bruins players and alumni at Encore Boston Harbor on February 13th. That's the day before Valentine's Day. For casino night presented by JetBlue, benefiting the Boston Bruins Foundation. Get your tickets now at the Bruins website. So to continue the discussion that we had during the first half hour, it really stands down from, okay, what is your best and worst moment in Boston sports history? There's no right, no wrong answer. Doesn't matter how old you are, if you're old enough to even remember 1967, that Game 7 of the World Series, Game 7 of 75 World Series, 1976 Patriots, or even you could say the 85 Patriots that lost to the Chicago Bears in the Super Bowl. Yeah, you can mention that as well. Or even, and I'm just mentioning moments and times in which that for the older generation, they may be old enough to remember. For me, I can remember certain moments like Game 7 of the 2010 Eastern Conference semifinals against the Flyers for the Bruins, in which they blew a three games to none series lead and blew a 3-0 lead in Game 7. They were up 3-0. In somehow end up blowing the lead and the series altogether. So your thoughts, always welcome and appreciate at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I decided to tweet out the topic of the show today, I mean, which is something that I rarely ever do, but decided to give it a shout out and send it out to Twitterverse in hopes that we can actually get some more calls into the show. So I tell you, another moment that really stands out to me, and I mentioned Game 7 of the 03 ALCS, the Aaron Boone game, and so forth. I got to tell you, there's another moment that does come to mind. And I know I hate to talk about this, but let's go with Game 6, 1986 World Series for the Red Sox and Mets. You're leading in Game 6, 10th inning. You're up 8-5 in the 10th inning. I mean, I wasn't old enough to remember this, so I'm just mentioning based on just the historical aspect, but also there's that, but also I would even go, and let's go with something a bit more recent. Would you say, aha, there's one that just came to mind actually. Patriot fans, you may want to go get a cold compress for this one. Super Bowl 42. Yeah. You remember that? Super Bowl 42. 18-0. Woohoo! Against the New York Giants. After all, we're talking about David versus Goliath. Now, I remember this game like yesterday still for several different reasons. One of them in which that I remember because the talk and the aura of that New England team that year, that 2007 season. Like, let's just talk about the fact for a moment that 07 team was one of the, if not the greatest offense we've ever seen in NFL history. Now, I'm talking about in terms of what they were able to do in terms of putting up points offensively. There was no questions about just how lethal they were. Obviously, Tom Brady, Randy Moss. After all, Brady at that time has set a then NFL record with most touchdown passes in the season. Randy Moss set a single season touchdown receiving record I think it was 23 at that time. Yeah. So you talk about just how lethal that offense was. And especially considering that you had also Wes Welker on that offense. You remember Aaron Hernandez? Or was he still at the University of Florida? And not to mention, when we talk about that Super Bowl 42, you know what's so interesting? What's so interesting is that oftentimes we learn so much more. We learn so much more in terms of how great that team was and why it was so, so, so demoralizing when that team did not get it done on the biggest stage of them all. Now, going into that game, if you may remember, the whole talk was, well, the Patriots should have no trouble with the New York Giants. Well, the Patriots should win this one outright. It should be a foregone conclusion. There was a sense of, dare I say, overconfidence in terms of the fan base. Not in terms of the team, but the fan base. But the players knew, and they remember, that this was a team that they had faced in week 17 of that year. Let me remind everybody for a moment. That week 17 of the 2007 season, that final game of that 2007 regular season, it was nationally televised. I mean nationally televised, not only on NFL Network, but across the local networks as well. Because the Patriots, at that point, they were on the cusp of becoming the second team ever to go undefeated in the regular season, joining the 72 Miami Dolphins. And that game was actually more challenging than what people gave it credit for at that time. And Michael Strahan said something so poetic after that game that I actually remember what he said in the documentary America's Game, the story of the 2007 New York Giants. He said that that loss actually gave the Giants, and I'm paraphrasing what he said, it gave the Giants confidence. Because we played them so close and came awfully so close to beating them, I can only imagine what the result could only be if we were to meet them again with something on the line. His words could not have been more prophetic as to it ended up happening a little more than a month later, in February of 2008. And when the game started, before I even get to the game, that whole thing, I mean, we all remember what happened, but that pass rush of the New York Giants that year, hands down, one of the greatest in NFL history. And it's not even up for debate. It really isn't. Go and look at what the Giants had on that defensive line. You tell me. The Patriots did not have concerns about the pass rush of the New York Giants. All right, for those that don't remember, I want to jog your memory. Michael Strahan, Justin Tuck, Osiu Manyora, Jay Alford. And I want to add Antonio Pierce, who was a linebacker, the starting linebacker for the Giants at that time. So, yeah, that pass rush was absolutely no joke at all. And if memory serves me right, they actually led the league in sacks as a team that year. So, when the Giants scored and they trailed the Patriots 7-3. I remember hearing about there was concern among the Patriots fans, like, this game is actually close. There hasn't been a whole lot going on in the first half offensively, but this game is close. And the defensive line for the New York Giants at that time is what really kept them in the game. And in the second half, we all remember what happened. The Eli Manning touchdown pass to David Tyree, and then Brady comes up clutch with the touchdown pass late in the fourth quarter, like with inside of 3 minutes remaining, to Randy Moss. So at that point, Patriots are up 14-10. I believe it was 2:39 remaining. Yeah. About 2:39 remaining, if I remember correctly. And you're thinking, wow, the Giants, this is it. The Patriots, you're thinking, wow, we get a stop on this drive. This game's over. 19-0. And so many things happened on that fateful drive. Before I get to the David Tyree catch, and I know that of course people remember that, but there was two major moments that happened on that drive that I sincerely believe that a lot of people may have forgotten. Number one, the Giants had a 4th-and-1 on that drive. They did. They had a 4th-and-1. And they had Brandon Jacobs in the backfield. You make that stop, the Giants turn over the ball on downs, there's no David Tyree catch. There was an errant throw by Eli Manning to the far sideline. It was touched and tipped out of bounds by Asante Samuels. Samuels makes the interception. Game. Game over. But neither of those things happened. So Tyree makes the catch, the helmet catch, and then Elliot Hobbs gets exposed by Plaxico Burress for the Super Bowl winning touchdown. And that was a moment that really made, and I mean, really made the hearts and stomachs sick here in New England. No question, it had to. And I really would be, I'd like to hear from people who remember the day after, what that was like here. Now, I hadn't moved to Boston yet. I was actually a junior in high school at that time. Now, I had to go to school the next day in New Jersey. I could tell you what that was like and so forth. But as for the New England perspective, I'd love to hear from you. So that was Super Bowl 42. That for me has got to be right up there. And I mean seriously, in terms of the best and worst moments in Boston sports history, easily. 1986, Game 6, the World Series. You're down to your last out. You're down to your last out. You couldn't seal the deal. Super Bowl 42, the 07 New England Patriots couldn't get the deal done, as we just talked about. And then we had a caller earlier during the show in which he mentioned the 1978 AL East one-game playoff between the Yankees and Red Sox. The Bucky bleeping dent game. Yeah, that's right up there. It's got to be. And again, I'd love to hear your thoughts and your comments on 91.5 FM WMFO. Call in the show. We got 14 minutes left. 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636. Here with you for another 13 minutes. So I'd love to hear from you. But coming up next, we're going to continue with the discussion. I'm welcoming your phone call and any thoughts on what your best and worst moment in Boston sports history may be. Feel free to share. I want to hear from you. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tough Street Form Radio. Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tufts Free Form Radio. We got about 8.5 minutes left, so we're going to continue on with the discussion of best and worst moments in Boston sports, history, completely opinionated. There's no right nor wrong answer. Call in the show, 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. It's been a fun show so far. We got a lot to get to and so forth. So in the next few minutes while we have remaining, there's a couple of more that have come to mind. And in which that I gotta admit, I mean, again, there's no right or wrong answers, but anytime you lose to the Montreal Canadiens, it stings. Oh, it hurts badly, real badly. And I gotta tell you, this moment in particular really comes to mind. Now, Bruin fans, pardon me as to what I am about to do in terms of rehashing old wounds. Remember Game 7, 2014, Eastern Conference Semifinals against the Montreal Canadiens? Yeah, I do, and I really rather not. Now, Bruins were up 3-2 in that series. They go to Montreal to potentially punch. They had one chance to punch their ticket to the Eastern Conference Finals, but they completely just whiffed that opportunity away, unfortunately. So they have to play Game 7 back in Boston, and you know that the Canadiens' history against the Bruins in Boston has actually been a fairly good one for the most part. Unfortunately, sans, with the exception of 2011, we all know how that ended. But 2014, it really was a revisitation of old wounds. Because, and ironically enough, that game actually represented the end of a Bruin era. Now, what do you mean? Allow me to explain. Remember that season, the Bruins were actually leading. Actually, though they weren't leading, but they actually had the best record in the league that year. They were the President's Trophy winning team. Yeah, they were the President's Trophy winning team, and at the start of the season, they were a, I would say a popular pick to pick for a team to go on to win the Stanley Cup again. And you remember who was on that team? Yeah, I do. Jerome Iginla was on that team. Yeah, that was his only year as a Bruin. Milan Lucic, Sean Thornton was on that team. Of course, you have Marchand. You had Dennis Seidenberg, Dougie Hamilton, Sedano Char. Don't forget Dennis Seidenberg. I think I mentioned him already. Carl Soderberg is the other guy I'm also thinking about too. Of course, you had the Vezina Trophy winner, goaltender in Tuukka Rask. Patrice Bergeron. Who else? Yeah, but either or, you had guys who were, I mean, the fact of the matter is, you had a team that, when you look back on that roster, you had a team that, on paper, you look like, this team has a chance to actually win the cup. But then, that Game 7, and the way that it ended, and the truth is, the Bruins never even led in that game. Montreal grabbed on scored first, and they never relinquished that lead. And I feel like that game really signified. Also, Johnny Boychuk was also on that team. That actually turned out to be Johnny Rocket's final game as a Bruin, because if you remember correctly, he was traded that September 2014. He was traded, and one of the worst moves by Peter Chiarelli in the Peter Chiarelli era for the Boston Bruins, that's right next to trading Tyler Seguin to Dallas the year prior, traded Boychuk to the Islanders. And as you and I know, it took a long time before the Bruins even remotely even like recovered. So I gotta put that up there for me as one of the worst moments in Boston sports history. I mean, is it overstated? I don't think so. But again, I look at that game, and that game really was the end of an era in Bruins hockey we haven't seen since. You know, you had skill, you had the scoring touch, you had the physicality, you had the guys that, you know, the guys that could drop the gloves and so forth. You had all of that. You had the perfect blend. That was the end of that of the era of that team. Because remember, Lucic was traded a year later after the 2014-15 season to the Los Angeles Kings on a draft night in June 2015. Yeah. A lot of memories I'd rather not even touch. But with that being said, those are some of the best and worst moments. It's all subject to opinion. Entirely up to you. And I will say this. We can continue the discussion on Twitter. Hit me up at SHUKRIWRIGHTS. Shukri Writes. At Shukri Writes. You can hit me up on Twitter. We can continue the discussion. I tweeted it out, actually, the topic. Best and worst moments in Boston sports history and so forth. So definitely look forward to hopefully having the opportunity to continue the discussion on Twitter and so forth. But I'll be back again next week. So stay tuned for any announcements in regarding to the show and so forth. And whatnot. So look forward to be back on the air next week. We have another show coming up just momentarily. So definitely stay tuned for that. But in the meanwhile, just want to quickly say it's been a fun show today. Although it's been a bit lighter than usual, but nonetheless, very fun, very informative and so forth. So thanks to all of you who have tuned in to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright signing out. I'll talk to you guys next week right here on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. Peace out.